right, turn your Bibles to John chapter 18. We're going to begin in verse 12. We're going to look at the first trial today, two parts of it, this morning and tonight. But this morning we're going to be in verses 12 through 18 as we look at the first mock trial of our Lord. So this morning we're going to begin a six-week series on these trials and leading up to the crucifixion on Good Friday. And we're going to be having a Good Friday service on March the 30th. We invite you to come. 7 o'clock, we'll observe the Lord's Supper and see what the Bible says about the crucifixion. And since I've been here, we haven't had a Good Friday service, and so we look forward to that. Now, these six mock trials that we're going to begin to look at is divided into three religious trials and three civil trials by the Romans. First three by the religious leaders. Interestingly, they found him all guilty. The Roman trials, three of them found him all innocent, but yet because of compromise, Pilate turned him over. Now, these trials would start at 2 a.m. on Friday morning, okay? And they would go about 6 hours to about 10 a.m., 2 hours before his crucifixion. He was crucified at, right close to his crucifixion. The crucifixion began at 9 a.m., and went to 3 p.m. They got Christ down off the cross so he could be off of the cross before the Sabbath. And so he was in the tomb part of Friday, all day Saturday, and part of Sunday. To the Jew, any part of a day was a day. So we're going to begin to look at these religious trials. And in these religious trials, he went before Annas, Caiaphas. Some people say Caiaphas, but I got one of those apps. You can pull it up and listen to it. It's Caiaphas. And also the whole Sanhedrin. Now, all of them were illegal, and all of them found Jesus guilty. Now, the civil trials before the Romans consisted of his presence before Pilate, Herod Antipas, and then Pilate again. And these were all mock trials. They were all illegal. And we're going to share that as we go through each of these trials, why they were illegal. Now today we began with the arraignment before Annas, the previous high priest, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Now, and also today, and this morning and tonight, we're going to be looking, intertwining the three denials of Peter that happened simultaneously during this first arraignment before Annas. Now this arraignment here begins at 2 a.m. on Friday. They had arrested him in the garden. And had brought him to Annas, the high priest, the former high priest's home, which was illegal, and then went to about 2:30 a.m. So let's begin this morning, beginning in verse 12, going through verse 18. Stand in honor of God's word, and let's begin to read. And the servants and the officers stood there. Verse 12. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. They're leaving where they had captured him in the Mount of Olives, and led him away to Annas first, and he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, which was a high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Now he wasn't saved, and he didn't know prophecy, but how prophetic that is, that one man would die for the people. Verse 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus and did another disciple. Now this disciple being John. So Peter and John are the only two disciples that did not flee. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. And then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her as a female doorkeeper that kept the door, and brought in Peter. And then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art thou also one of his disciples? And he says, I am not. That's the first denial of Peter. Verse 18, and the servants and the officers stood there and had made a fire of coals, and it was cold. They warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them. That's his first mistake. Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Father, I prayed as we open this text, though I know this is not a practical training in righteousness type sermon, but it is a more of a scholarly instructional sermon. about the trials of our Lord. So teach us today, we might better understand how this went. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. All God's people said amen. You may be seated. So let's look, first of all, at the first part of the first trial before Annas. In verse 12, we have the arresting soldiers, the arresting party, which consisted of the temple guard. And some people believe the Roman soldiers were involved here. I personally don't. Look at verse 12 again. And then the band and the captain officers of the temple guard of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. So whoever was involved here, they took Jesus and they brought him to Annas, the former high priest. Now in verse 13, we're introduced to a man named Annas. The Bible says, and they led him away to Annas first. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now, we're introduced to this man named Annas. This arraignment here is only recorded in the Gospel of John. And it's the first phase of three Jewish trials where they would try our Lord. The second phase was before Caiaphas, the former high priest, which also was illegal. That's in the other gospel accounts. And the third was the next morning before the Sanhedrin. Now, Annas was no longer high priest, as I stated. Yet he was a powerful man. He ruled from A.D. 6 to A.D. 15. And he was removed from office by the Roman authorities. Now, two interesting insights here about Annas, okay? Many Jews regarded Annas as a legitimate high priest. They didn't think Caiaphas was the legitimate high priest because Annas was removed by the Romans. Kind of like people today. You know, there are still people today that say that Trump is not my president. And I would say to them, how about moving? Amen? How about getting out of the country? You know, that would be the best thing for all of us. But they didn't consider Annas as the legitimate high priest. Another thing about Annas, he had five sons and one grandson who served as high priest. He was the father-in-law of the present high priest, Caiaphas. Now, let's go a little deeper about Annas. Who was this man? Well, you look at history and look at the Bible background, you see he was an arrogant, greedy man who benefited from the temple tax and the sale of sacrificial animals from the money changers. He probably got very upset when Jesus would overturn the money changers. Number two, he hated Jesus, who twice disrupted his business by cleansing the temple. And no wonder he wanted to have Jesus first. It sounds like the run-of-the-mill politician, doesn't it, today? And number three, he presided over an illegal preliminary examination with trumped-up charges. No pun intended. With trumped-up charges, it was an unauthorized inquiry at the home of the high priest, which was illegal as well, with no charges brought. Okay? Boy, the parallel is striking here with this Mueller thing. I hate to get political, but usually you don't have an investigation until you have a charge, right? But it's backwards here. Now notice verse 14. We're introduced to what the scripture calls a parenthetical. That means for one verse here, the Holy Spirit takes us to the trial of Caiaphas, though it's out of place chronologically. Look in verse 14. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that he was expedient that one man should die for the people. So this incident is recorded in John chapter 11, verse 49 through 52. And Caiaphas was appointed the high priest A.D. 18 and remained the high priest till A.D. 36. And he too was removed as well. Now in verse 14, we can see why the rulers were so eager and willing to kill Jesus to maintain their positions in Rome. That's why Pilate compromised, though he says, I find no fault in this man. He still turned him over because he treasured his position more than he did truth. And you'll see that. And this is where, while in custody, we move to Peter's first denial. That's when it happened chronologically. And you can read about that in John chapter 11, verse 49. Now let's move on to another thought here. God sovereignly placed Caiaphas and Annas, all in position here. It was ordained that they would be in position as the high priest when these events took place. And it was ordained that Caiaphas would say, it's expedient for us that one man die rather than all the people. See, God puts up rulers. We don't understand it. I know why he put Trump in office. I think he put Obama in office for Trump to come around and redo what he did, right? And God who puts up and puts out. It's God who, we go to the polls, we vote, but yet God has elected for the man that he wants for to fulfill prophecy at that time. He willingly puts this man into office to carry out this sentence of death here. And it's the same way he put Judas. He said in the Psalms that Judas, one of his friends, would betray him. And again, we're not going to talk too much about the difference between Peter and Judas. Judas was an unbeliever. He was a son of the devil. He never was a believer, you know, though he was numbered with the 12 by number, but he was never numbered with them in his heart. Judas didn't lose anything. He never was saved. Peter was saved, and in a fault like we do sometimes, he denied the Lord, but God restored him, remember? And he says, I prayed for you. At the end here, I'm going to share a verse with you. He says, Peter, Satan desires to sift you, but I prayed for you that your faith will not fail, right? And when you are turned around, and when you are converted, not spiritually, but when you are turned, strengthen the brethren, okay? So that's the difference between Judas and Peter here. Now, let's look secondly at Peter's first denial. We're taken from Annas' house outside to Peter's first denial in verses 15 through 18. And again, except for John and Peter, all scattered at this time. I know a church right now that's having an Easter play, and I read the script, and it's kind of like a contemporary Easter play, not going by the Bible, but in this play they have the Jewish leaders interviewing all of the disciples about Jesus, but that's not true. They all fled except John and Peter. And though we may say it's a contemporary trial, I believe if we're going to do anything in the church, it ought to reflect a true biblical account of what happened. Do you agree with me? All right. Do you agree with me? Okay. All right. Okay. Stick with me now, because I'm thinking more and more about a women's day. Okay. So stick with me. Now, let's look at his first denial here. Now, look at it in verse 15 through 18. Okay. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and did so another disciple that Jesus was known unto the high priest. So I don't know, we're not told in scripture why the high priest Annas knew John, but they did. And went in and Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple John, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her, and kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the disciple that kept the door unto Peter, art thou also one of his disciples? And he saith, I am not. Remember what Jesus said, Peter, you're so gung-ho and you're so arrogant and you're so thinking you're not going to betray me, but you know you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows, right? And this is the first time right here he says, I am not. Now, and the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Not only had he denied Christ, he knew Christ, but he was standing with those who didn't love Christ. Amen? Now that is amazing, and I'm going to share more about that in just a moment here. But as we read this account of Peter and all of his denials, the other two as well, I said I want to share some things about Peter and his denial of Christ and how it applies to our life as well. And I just want to make a few comments to you about this. Just in case you think you're so high and mighty, here's a man who thought he would never do this, right? Number one, Peter's multiple denials are warnings to all of those self-confident that they would follow Jesus no matter what and no matter where, right? Well, I've had people tell me in the ministry, hey, I'll be there with you, brother. I love the Lord and I'm going to be in the church, you know. And Lord knows the Homeland Security can't find them now. I don't know where they're at, you know. Number two, our boasting in our abilities is an invitation to fall. If you're trusting in your abilities to follow Christ, then you're going to be badly mistaken. Number three, denying Christ is progressive. It's a downward fall over time. It just doesn't happen overnight. And I'll share with you a reason for that. Number five, neglect of prayer and obedience to God's word begins to fall. In other words, remember, this was the same group that Jesus said, stay with me and pray, watch and pray in the garden. But they all slept. And no wonder he wasn't ready to act like he ought to act when it come time to stand up, right? Because he wasn't spiritually prepared. And he hadn't prayed, right? He was trusting in his own abilities. And number six, our mouth and our actions should match, right? What we profess and practice should not contradict. It's one thing to say one thing, but your life shows something different, right? That is called, say it with me, hypocrisy, right? Being somebody on Sunday who you are not the other 6 days of the week. In fact, it came from actors back then. They would put on a mask to pretend to be a certain actor, a certain person, but they weren't really that. Now, so we'll learn some things here about this first denial of Peter, and we're going to break it right here. And we're going to look at tonight the second part of the trial before Annas. And there's some things I want to share with you about what's going on in the world about hostility toward Christians tonight as we examine Peter's second and third denial going on outside while they're in Annas' house here. Okay? It's all illegal. Their first trial was jumped up charges. It was at night. That's illegal. And it was in a high priest home. That was illegal. Okay? But guess what? They could have done all the illegal stuff they could have done to our Lord, but yet it was God who delivered his son up to die for the sins of the world. Amen? And I would say to you today here, if you have not confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you haven't repented of your sins, and you haven't placed your faith in Christ alone for salvation and his atoning work on the cross, then you're on the way to an eternal hell without God. Boy, Brother Mike Allen yesterday did a great job at Brother Doug McGill's funeral. He was able to take Doug's life and intertwine it with the gospel out of Isaiah, of all places, and did a great job. Brother Mike is one of the few that I know that actually shares a clear presentation of the gospel at a funeral, along with Brother Steve. So if you're here and you haven't never done that, you've just been playing church, right? If you never understood that you are a sinner in need of salvation, you never understood that Jesus is God, Christ, the Christ of God who died on the cross for your sins, folks, you're not going to make it. Because we are saved by grace through faith and not by works, right? We don't earn our way. There's nothing we boast about. We don't bring anything to the table. God receives us by his grace and by his mercy and by his great love for us. And if you never made that confession of faith, we invite you to do that this morning as we stand. And as the musicians come, all heads bowed, all eyes closed this morning.